Thank you, praise team. You guys did an awesome job this morning. We want to say thank you. Amen. I look forward to coming and worshiping the Lord and singing and just having a time of worship to God. If you have your Bibles, let's go to 1 Peter chapter 5, and we're going to start with verse 5. Last week, I started talking to you about we have an enemy. You know, there is an enemy. It's amazing to me how people want to deny the existence of Satan. Have you watched the news? Some of the things that people do, there has to be a Satan. I mean, why would any human being do that? That don't even make sense. Why would a human being do that to another human being? I mean, there has to be a satanic power behind it. So we have an enemy. We have an adversary. Now, I don't spend a lot of my time thinking about him. He's defeated, and I'm going to show you that. But the point is, he gains the advantage in our life when we don't know who we are, when we don't know our place, and when we don't know the truth. Amen? The Bible says that the truth sets us free. And so we want the freedom of God, Jesus, in our life. Whom the Son sets free is what? Free indeed. Amen? So through the revelation of Jesus and through the revelation of God's Word, we become free. Jesus said, John 8 and 31, he said, if we would continue in the word, then we would be his disciples indeed, and we would know the truth, and the truth would make us free. Amen? We would be free. And I believe being free from the power of the enemy, amen, free from his lies, free from his deception, free from the sickness and disease that comes through the lack of knowledge that people have. And so we want to be people that walk in the freedom of God, but we need to know that there is an enemy. Amen? I think one of Satan's greatest tricks is to get a society to believe that there's no such thing as a Satan, a devil. If you don't believe there is one, you'll never take a stand against him. Amen? And so we don't want that. But look what it says here in chapter 5 of 1 Peter. In 5 it says, likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive one to another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Now, I don't know which one you need, but I don't need resistance from God. There's enough resistance from the world I live in, okay? He said, but if I walk proudly in pride, he said, God will resist me. When God resists you, you've been resisted. He would be a perfect resister. Amen? I don't need his resistance against my life. And he says right here, he says, I can give you, you can have resistance or you can have grace. Grace is God's favor upon your life. Amen? It's the unearned favor of God purchased for you by the work of Jesus Christ. Amen? And so look what it says here. It says, God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. It says, therefore, humble yourself, excuse me, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. So he's telling you that if you humble yourself to God, then God will elevate you, okay? We don't have to elevate ourselves. God will elevate us. And so then he goes on to say this. He says, casting all your cares upon him. Okay, that is the act of humility. Casting your cares upon God. Could I have that in the New Living, that verse 7? See, we don't use that word much, your cares. I mean, we know what they are, but there's more to it than just the care, okay? He wants you, he says, give all your worries and cares to God. To humble yourself is to you to give all your worries and your cares to God. That's the act of humility. It's not going around, oh, I'm nobody. You know, I love humble people because the first time you challenge their humility, they're ready to fight. It's amazing how it works. I'm real humble until you cross me, and then I'm ready to go to Fifth City with you. It's like, no, that's not humility. Humility ain't going around putting yourself down or going around. Humility is casting all your worries, your cares, your fears upon God. Because humility is submitting yourself to the purpose, the plan, and the will of God for your life. This world is filled with lies trying to make you worry. Satan robs you of your place in God by spending your life worrying about things. When the whole thing, and I know I'm not supposed to use the word, but the whole thing about COVID was to get you fearful so they can control you. That's all it was about. Nobody's sticking something in me that isn't my ideal. Now, you can do what you want. Now, don't take this wrong. I'm not looking down on anybody. You felt like you needed it, go for it. I'm not against anybody. But I'm just saying, as for me, God didn't tell me to take it, so I didn't take it. And your laws, your rules, I put up with a lot of stuff. I mean, as a Christian, I mean, there's a lot of stuff going on out there that you kind of overlook. You know, you know it's wrong, but you just go on about your business. But if you show up at my door thinking you're going to give me a shot, we're going to have a problem. And there are things in this life that I personally am willing to die for. That's just my personality. But here's my point. We're ordered by the world around us to submit to them, to give in to them. And the truth of it is, it's a control, and I don't want to get off on this like I am, but it's about control, it's about manipulation, it's about all those things. But you have to take all of that, and you have to cast that over on God. And you have to come to a place in your walk with God. I believe that my steps are ordered by God. And if his steps leads me into a place of persecution, his grace will be sufficient. Now, I'm not out looking for it. Okay, I'm not looking for it. No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying if my journey in my relationship with God leads me into a place of persecution, I'm willing to accept that. Because God's will for my life is more important than my comfort. God is more concerned about your going up than your comfort. I know it. I like comfort. I like comfort. I like things easy. Anybody like me? I like things comfortable. I like things, I like heat and cool. And I like to get in my truck and turn the air on, I like to get in my truck, turn the heat on. I remember Sandy, the first car Sandy and I bought, brand new, in Barstow, California, didn't have an air conditioner. Bad decision. There's a decision you don't want to ever make. I can just warn you, you don't want to make that decision. That was a hot couple of years. But the bottom line is, I like comfort. But I can't let the fear of losing my comfort to get me to compromise on the things of God. No? Yes? I didn't get up here to preach. I'm just saying there's an enemy out there. And he wants to intimidate me. He wants me to believe lies. He wants me to become fearful. He wants me to cast aside my confidence in God. He wants me to take up the news and take up this version and that version. And what he wants me to do is to take all my cares, all my worries, all my things, and cast them on him and believe that my future is safe in him. That he has me safe. He has my steps ordered. And he'll lead me and guide me in the path that he has for my life. And I'll end up at the right place at the right time because God is faithful. But if you're living from your worries and your cares, you're making decisions that's going to keep you out of the purpose of God. Because you'll spend your whole life trying to protect yourself when God's the one that protects you. Can you receive that? So we want to be people that, you know, I don't think it's God's, I don't think God wants me going out and just poking the people in the eye. You know, I don't like you. I don't believe in what, but I need to get up every day and walk in the love of God and live for Jesus. Amen. Just live for Jesus. I don't think Jesus got up and said, I'm going to start a fight with the Sanhedrin today. I'm going to see how many people I can upset today. I don't believe that. I believe Jesus got up and went out to minister to people. And out of jealousy for Jesus, they turned on him. They feared him. They feared Jesus. See, it was they feared him because he was the real deal. And nothing bothers hypocrites more than the real deal. A hypocrite is a Greek word where we get our word a thespian or an actor, somebody playing a role. Are you a real Christian or are you playing a role? If you're a thespian, when you come to church, you put on the act. When you leave the church and go out into the world, you go back to what you really are. The bottom line is, if I'm a child of God, I'm a child of God. And I can't take the fear and the worry and the fret of this world and live in that because it's going to get me to compromise my beliefs in God. So, but he told me this. He says, now you just cast them over on me. And he didn't say just cast them over there. He said, cast them over there because I care. He cares for you. Amen? Because God cares for you. He said, casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. And then he says, be sober. Come on. There's so many millions of Americans that do not even have a sober mind. We have some on illegal drugs. We have some on legal drugs. We have some on alcohol, we have some on all different forms of stuff. And our world is bound and they don't have a sober mind. Now, when your mind isn't sober, the adversary tries to creep in. Did you know the word pharmacia? Well, pharmacia, where we get the word pharmacy. The Bible word for pharmacia is drugs and demonic and demon possession. Drugs open you up to demonic spirits. Not just illegal ones. I have a sister that's on drugs, legal ones, and you might as well talk to a fence post. Because the enemy don't want you to have a sober mind. He don't want your mind sober. He wants to get, because he can gain advantage. People do the stupidest things when their minds are not sober. And he says here, he says, be sober-minded. Now, I don't want you to misunderstand me. You may have a health issue that requires a medication, and I'm not telling you not to take it. I'm just telling you, you be careful because your adversary wants to gain a place of advantage in your life, and the doctor, he just wants you out of his office. I said this the other day, and I shouldn't meddle, but you take your dog to the vet, and he ain't doing well. What's the first thing the doc asks you about your dog? The vet will ask you about your dog. What have you been feeding him? You go to a doctor, and you know what the doctor, the first question he'll ask you is, what are you on? What are you taking? What medications are you on? Because he expects you to be on them. When the first question should be to him, what are you eating? What are you putting in your body? That should be his first question. Now, don't misunderstand me. I believe you should eat whatever you want. I told Ron this morning he can have a Twinkie and Red Bull diet. You know, that's his business. It's none of my business. But you're going to live with the consequences of that, okay? So what I would encourage you to do, if God made it, feel free to eat it. God didn't make it, you might want to think about it. That's all I'm saying. But you know what? Our diet has a lot to do with our health and has a lot to do with our minds and has a lot to do with all that. So I'm not preaching food, okay? I'm just saying be wise, get your own information, decide what's right for you, and do it. But God has called us to be people of sober minds. We should have sober thinking. Our thinking should be sober. It should be sound. We should have sound thinking, not in just one area of our life, but in every area of our life. No, yes. We should have sound thinking. God has called us as Christians to have a sound mind. He said, I have not given you the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Amen? Be educated by God, not by the world. Right? Okay, I'm supposed to just get up here and hoop and holler, but I'd like us to learn something. He says to be sober, be vigilant, which means what? On guard. Why are you on guard if there's nothing to be on guard for? It says, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. But he doesn't stop there, does he? He said, resist him. How do we resist him? Steadfast in the faith. What is faith? Confidence and trust in God. When I really have confidence and trust in God, and the enemy comes with his lies and comes with his deception, I say, no, in Jesus' name, I know the truth. I know I'm more than a conqueror. I know that Jesus has healed my body. I know that he wants me to succeed in life. I know what the word, so what am I doing? I'm resisting the devil. But if I let the lie get into my mind and it starts becoming part of me, and I can always tell what a person's thinking, because people say what they're thinking. That's why he warns us that life and death are in the power of your tongue. He also warns us that our tongue can't be tamed. In other words, your tongue can only say what's in your heart. If you don't like what you're saying, then you need to change your heart. That takes effort. But anything, have you ever noticed anything good takes effort? And anything is bad, don't. And to a society that's become pretty lazy, we've noticed that good things are disappearing. Just a thought. He said, resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Jesus Christ, after you have suffered a while. I don't like that. After you have suffered a while, he will mature you or perfect you, establish and strengthen you, and settle you. What he's saying here is when you learn how to resist your adversary through the word of God and through truth and through that, it puts pressure on my flesh. Am I the only one? It puts pressure on my flesh. Because I don't know about you, my flesh likes the easiest way. No, yes. When you go to a building, a tall building, how many of you use the stairs and how many of you use the elevator? Those stairs would do you more good. But 99.9% of us will take the elevator. Because we don't want to deal with the stairs, because the stairs are going to require effort, right? Well, we live in a world like that where we don't want to put, and it's the same way in the kingdom of God. I want victory. I want to overcome. I want to enjoy the goodness of God. I want to join the blessings. I want the best of God in my life. Well, it's going to require effort. I've got to learn to resist the devil. I've got to know how to stand against him. I've got to be able to declare the truth in the face of a lie. I've got to be able to stand up and say, no, Jesus is right. Heaven and earth can pass away, but my word will come to pass. You got to be, and that ain't always comfortable. No? And especially when it comes to family. You'll never know how many people have come to me and said, well, I didn't want to say anything. It might offend my kid. Well, when your kid gets to hell, he'll be offended. If we don't set... Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm not talking about being mean. I'm not talking about dogging somebody. Jesus made it clear. He said, if you give people truth and they turn and rend it to you, don't give it to them anymore. He says it's like a casting a pearl before a pig. Why does a pig trample a pearl? He doesn't know its value. And a person that don't know the value of the things of God will turn on you. They will rend you with it. They will tell you, and because they don't see the value of it. You got to come to, and you can't really see the value of the things of God until you're born again and become a child of God. So it all starts with that relationship with Jesus. Amen? And to just keep pushing this on somebody that's rejecting it and rejecting it, I don't think that's God's will. Now, I'm not saying not to take a moment and offer people eternal life. I'm just saying if people want to just keep, you know. The Bible says that a beautiful woman without values is like a jewel stuck in a pig's nose. That's what Proverbs says. It says you can take a beautiful woman, but she has no moral values, is like a pig with a jewel stuck in its nose. That old jewel ain't all that enticing. See, we need to wake up as the church and just be the church. We don't have to. You're not here to save the world. Jesus saved the world. Your job is to preach the gospel. When I say preach it, I mean just speak the truth in love. Amen? And let the world decide what they're going to do with it. You know, you don't make Christians out of people that don't want to be Christians. And I've learned this pastoring. You don't make overcomers out of people that don't want to overcome. I don't care how many messages you preach. I care how many illustrations you give. I don't care how much you live it yourself. If people don't want to be overcomers, they're not going to be. Now, when I was a young preacher, I used to beat myself up all the time when I'd have people sit in my church where I preach and where I pastor and let their lives deteriorate into a total disaster. And I'd say, God, what did I do wrong? And finally he said to me, he said, you didn't do anything wrong. They were hearers but not doers. And that don't fall on you. That falls on them. But my job is to preach the word, amen? Be instant in season and out of season, to reprove and rebuke and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when men will not endure sound teaching. Are we there? Is that our church? We are a church that doesn't endure sound teaching no more. We're just looking for teachings that itch our ears and make us feel good about ourselves. Sometimes you don't need to feel good about yourself. Sometimes you need to repent. Now, if you'll repent, you'll feel good, right? I'm not advocating we go around feeling bad. I'm just saying if there's something in our life that needs to change, with God's help, let's change it. Amen? Let's let God change it in us. So go over to James chapter 4. I don't know if that's in my notes up there, Scotty. It's back the other way. James chapter 4. And let's look at verse 1. There's nothing greater than serving God. You see, I don't know about you, but for me, the greatness about serving God is not having a bunch of collateral damage behind me. Broken marriages, broken families, broken health, broken... I don't want that. I don't want that. When we don't serve, when we don't let Jesus be Lord of our lives, our tendency is to blow up our lives. Blow up our finances, blow up our marriages, blow up our children. It amazes me. When we were, Sandy and I were raising our boys, one of the most important things for us was to make sure they were in the house of God. Because they were going to turn into teenagers. It's pretty hard to fix a teenager if you haven't raised them in God's house. Now, it can be done. I mean, Tom was an old man when he got saved. How old were you? 30 years ago. So he was a man. He was a grown man. I remember he was running a welding shop here in Palisadro. It was called Precision. Superior Welding. And I was working on my friend, Paul Spooner, had the auto body shop next door to him. And I had blown up my Jeep because I didn't change the oil on it enough. And so I was down there rebuilding the engine. Paul was teaching me, showing me how to rebuild my engine. And Tom was having all kinds of back issues, all kinds of back problems, rolling around on the ground out there trying to do his job. and his back was shot. And all, and Tom and Paul was introducing him. I think Paul was the one that introduced you to Jesus, wasn't it? Brought you to a home Bible study. God saved. Got filled with the Holy Spirit. God healed as a grown man. And Tom had had a life before he became a Christian. And I'll let him share that with you, and I won't share it with you. But he had a life before Jesus. So it happens. But I want you to know, we need to train up our children in the way they should go, because they're going to turn into teenagers and they're going to be bombarded by a world out there that's filled with lies and deception and that plays to their desires instead of what's important to them, what's important for their life. So that's why you do it. It's not a religious thing. It's about training up your children so that as they grow older, they will naturally come into a relationship with God, and they'll naturally understand the right way and the wrong way of doing stuff. And you know what? When we're too busy to bring our kids to the house of God, and when we don't take the make it important, that's important that we train up our children the right way. And it's important that we teach them at home. Right? We had gone down to Hesperia, and we went to visit my parents. We were up here, moved up here. And we drove down to Hesperia to see my parents. And we went to church. And so we get there to church, and the guy gets up there to preach, and he wasn't 5 minutes in it, and he said the stupidest thing. And when I quit listening, you'll know, because I closed my Bible. I'm done listening. When you tell me God made somebody sick, you're an idiot. And I ain't going to learn from an idiot. I closed my Bible. I just said, I'd have got up and walked out if it hadn't been for my parents. Because that's just the kind of person I am. I'd have just got up and walked out. Now, I wouldn't have done it loud or obnoxious. I'd have just slipped out. But we get done. We go through service. And we shake a few hands and we leave. I'm sitting there. We get in the car. We're driving back to my parents' house. My oldest son sitting in the back seat, and he goes, Dad, we got to tell somebody. And I said, Son, we got to tell what? He goes, we got to tell something. Them people are preaching false teachings down there. And he was about 11 years old. My 11-year-old son knew more than probably most adults that sat in that church, because they were bombarded. When we would take long trips, I'd listen to preaching. But I knew I had kids, so I couldn't just bombard them with preaching. So what we'd do is I'd listen to a tape of preaching, and then we'd listen to a tape of Audio Adrenaline. Then we'd listen to a preaching, then we'd listen to DC Talk. And then we'd listen to a message preached, and then we'd listen to Jars of Clay. And then we'd listen, you know, because I had kids, and I'm showing my age here, but, you know, my kid, and my kid's age too. My oldest son's 42 or 41 years old. But my point was, I wasn't going to just make them sit there and listen to preaching all the time. So I'd play my tape, and then I'd play their tape, and then I'd play my tape, and I'd play their tape. And it was so funny. And one time we were going through Texas, and we were listening to some song. It was a country and western station. I know none of you ever do that. But we were driving through Texas, and that song, All My Exes Are in Texas. No, that's not the one. It was something about heaven. It was an old country and western song about heaven, and a Wesley sitting in the back goes, Dad, that's a Christian song. You know, because it had heaven in it. But the thing is, you raise them up to know the truth, and they'll know the truth. And they won't be deceived. Then the world won't be able to destroy them. For a lack of knowledge, my people are destroyed. Right? But you as a parent have to sow into your children. You have to put time. You can't, ladies, you can't raise your children staring at your phone. Men, you can't raise your children when you have no time for them. You got to make time for your family. You got to make time for your wife. You got to make time. I don't care how busy this world is. You got to have time for what's important. Amen? Because if you don't, your adversary is going to take your family out. Be wise. No? Yes? Somebody respond. Yes. Come on. We need to know the truth. Look what it says here in James chapter 4 and verse 1. It says, where does wars and fightings come from among you? Do they not come from the desire for pleasure that war in our members? You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not what? Ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss. And the word amiss means that you ask for the wrong reason. Let me ask you this. Why do you want to succeed? Why do you want money? What's your purpose? To just consume it upon your own flesh? To have more? It's like, I'll preach on prosperity of you being blessed, people being blessed. And then I'll hear people leaving, I don't think God wants me to prosper because I don't think God cares if I, and then they name all this crap. And I'm like, well, there's no reason for you to prosper because you'd spend it all on stupid. Come on, if you're going to just take everything God gives you and spend it on stupid, why would God bless you? Somewhere in there, God wants you to be a part of the kingdom and a part of what he's doing. And don't misunderstand me. I believe God wants you to take care of your family. I think you ought to, if your wife wants her nails done, I think she ought to get her nails done. She wants to go get her hair colored, let her get her hair colored. I want my wife to have whatever she wants. But at some place, you got to stand up and say, it's enough. We got 5 cars. It's enough. We got 3 houses. It's enough. I mean, somewhere in there, you got to stop and say, it's enough. There's more to this than that. And if we have the wrong spirit and the wrong attitude about the things of God, it's going to be hard for us to receive them because we're asking for the wrong reason. Why do you want to be healthy? So you can sin better? So you can sin in style? Well, no, you want your health so you can serve God and so you can raise your kids and you can be a good husband or a good wife. You can live for God. You can't be a good husband when you're laying in bed all the time. You can't be a good husband when your wife can't take care or help you around. And I know this is old-fashioned, but, you know, at my house, my wife actually does the laundry. I know all you men probably do the laundry at your house, but at my house, my wife does the laundry. Well, when a woman is sick all the time, your wife's sick all the time, she can't be a blessing to you. If the husband is sick all the time, he can't be a blessing to you. Say, you can't be a blessing to anybody. He wants you to feel good. He wants you to be well. He wants you to be whole. He wants you to be able to do the things you need to do. I don't know. I've had a few friends, and every time you'd get around them, they'd give you an organ recital. Oh, my back hurts, my leg hurts, my kidney hurts, my head hurts, my back. And it's like, and then if you said you had a hurt, they had to up you. Yeah. They had to have one more pain than you had. And it's like, there's some people I've gotten to the place I won't even ask them how they're doing. I just say, hi. Because about the time you ask them how you're doing, you're going to have a testimony about how good the devil's doing. Now, I'm not against. You want me to pray about something? Let's pray. Sister Annie called, texted the other day and said, I'm not feeling good. I stopped right there. Sandy and I stopped right there. We prayed for her. There's nothing wrong with that. But when I saw her this morning, I said, how you doing, Annie? I'm doing good. You know, she's got over it. She moved on. She's ready to go. And some people, if they didn't have a sickness, they wouldn't have a personality. No, yes. They identify themselves by it. I had a brother-in-law. I've had many brother-in-laws. When you got 6 sisters, you have the opportunity for many brother-in-laws. But I had one, and he had gone to the doctor that day, and they told him he was pre-diabetic. Oh, he couldn't wait to get home. Start calling everybody he knew. Oh, the doctor said, I'm pre-diabetic. He just took it, man. Took it. Identified himself with it. Claimed it as his own, man. Instead of going to the doctor and say, okay, doctor, what do I need to do? Can I change my diet? Can I add a little exercise? What can I do to get this down? No, it just, give me something. What do I need to take? I don't want the world's answers. I want God's answers. Now, I know that makes me weird, makes me odd, but I want God's answers. We have 3 bedrooms in our house. But we sleep in one. There's a lot of people can't sleep together no more. I told her, we're always going to sleep together, so you better get get that figured out. When we're 100 apiece and we go to kiss, it's probably going to be. But I still plan to kiss her. Because I plan on this thing working until there's no one. Yeah, I have no plan B. I have one plan. Her name is Sandy. That's plan A. I have no other plan. I'm not looking for a tighter bottom. I got the one God gave me. It's perfect. And anytime I want to get too hottie-tot, I just look in the mirror and say, who's that old bald man standing there? Thank God Sandy still loves you. Just get real. I look in the mirror now and see my dad. I had a handsome dad. Wow, Annie. I was doing pretty good until then. But the thing is, the enemy, he's out to destroy you. And you got to understand that he's an adversary, and he uses your feelings, your emotions, your lust, your desire against you. We got to get wise enough to know, that's not me. I shouldn't tell. I'm going to read this, and then I'm going to confess a sin to you. I'm going to confess something to you. It says, you lust and have not. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your own pleasure. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with this world is what? Enmity with God. Whoever therefore wants to be the friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Oh, do not think that the scripture says in vain, the spirit who dwells in you yearns jealously. In other words, when you're out playing the unfaithful Christian, God is jealous over you. Because he expects us to be faithful. God expects, when I call the house, I expect Sandy to be faithful. I don't want Sandy sitting around the house thinking, I wonder what that old joker's up to. I want her to be able to trust me. Amen? Well, God wants to trust us. When he said adulterers and adulteresses, he's not talking about people that is actually committing. He's not about people that have an illicit relationship with the world. As Christians, we don't have an illicit relationship with the world. We have a faithful relationship with him. No, yes, somebody help me. Whosoever therefore wants to be the enemy, whosoever there wants to be the friend of the world makes himself the enemy with God. Do you think that the scripture says in vain, the spirit who dwells in you yearns jealousy? But he gives more grace, therefore, he gives more grace, therefore, he says. God resists the proud, but gives grace to who? Then he says this, therefore submit to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinner, and purify your heart, you what? Double-minded. That's it. When we take on the mind of the world, and we have the mind of Christ, and they're warring with each other, how can we be faithful to God? We got to cast all them worries, cares, and all that anxiety, and all that. Throw that. And don't miss it. It tries to come back. No? Yes, it tries to come back. What I was going to say is, he warns us up here that we get drawn away in our own desires. And I know none of you have any desires that's not good. But it used to be more, because when I first started really trying to get some transition in my health, I was watching these workout videos and stuff like that. Well, of course, when you start watching these workout videos, next thing you know, you got some scantily dressed girl that wants to show you how to work out. I mean, it just pops into your YouTube video. And anybody got an iPad besides me? Well, I'll be watching, you know, Mr. America or Mr. Hart or whatever, or somebody else, you know, show you how to work out or show you how to do something for your triceps or something for your chest or something like that, and you're trying to learn. And then all of a sudden, there's this girl. She pops up, and she's got abs and a tight rear end, and she's wearing that spandex. I mean, there's nothing left to your imagination. If she's got a crack, you get to see it. Well, my flesh says, why don't you click on that? This is just to learn how to work out, you know. But I know me. I just posse vu. I just move on. Because here's what Satan wants. He wants to make me dissatisfied with my wife. He wants to make me dissatisfied with my partner. And he'll creep in any way, and he'll tell me any lie he can tell me. And I know you would never be tempted, but there's on occasions when I've been tempted to, who knows what I might learn? You know, I am a learner here. I love new stuff, you know. But no, I'll just skip it and go somewhere else. See, I know you don't have those problems. But that thought came. Instead of me taking the thought, I took the word. The Bible says if a man looks at a woman in lust, he's committed adultery in his heart. I'm not going to be an adulterer. Anybody working with me here? Listen, friend, there's two things that never quit growing. Your ears and your feet. Can you imagine what I'm going to look like when I'm 100? I just pray to God Sandy still loves me. You cut my ears off and make a purse. They just keep growing. So I look like a taxi going down the road with both doors open. I just pray, thank God. I mean, here the hair that used to cover them is gone. I trapped her with the hair down over them. Now you had to put your best foot forward, you know. There's a picture, and Amy can vouch it for it. She's got this picture of me on my wedding day, and I got a full head of hair, and it's down over my ears because I wasn't showing them babies off. Well, the hair left and the ears stayed. Thank God my wife loves me. And every once in a while she'll say, "You're so handsome." And I always think, that's why as we grow older our eyes get bad. I used to watch this show called Red Green. Anybody see it? It was out of Canada. It was a Red Green show. It was a little 30-minute show. And it was a bunch of rednecks is all it was. And at the end of it, he'd give you some redneck wisdom. That was the clip. Redneck wisdom. So he's standing there and he's talking. He says, "Now listen to me, man." He says, "You need to be faithful to your wife." He says, "Do you really want a stranger to see your body?" He says, "Before you go there, you might want to go in the bathroom, take all your clothes off and look at it and think, nope, I wouldn't do that to anybody." You know, and so, I mean, that's where you go. I mean, after 50 years of marriage, it's like, nah, I'll pass. I wouldn't put that on anybody. No? Hey, you guys, when I was 20, I looked different. I just want you to know, I looked different. And now that I go by, I walk by the mirror quick. God help. But the thing, we got to get the things of God in our life or we'll fall into the traps. We'll believe the lies, and we don't want that. The only way the devil can defeat you is to get you to believe a lie. Know the truth. Amen? Know the truth. No? What do you think, Michael? Think I need to stop, huh? All right. You've probably some wisdom there, sis. Here's the thing. Do you want Jesus? Only people that want him get him. He doesn't force himself on anybody. You want Jesus? He said, "Come to me." Amen? Sandy had a 19-year-old cousin. name was Peter. They moved up by us in Apple Valley. He rode a motorcycle. Good-looking kid. And I was always witnessing to him when I could. Finally, I cornered him and said, "Hey, Peter." You know, it's kind of like I wanted to close the deal, you know, get him to accept. I said, "Peter," I said, "why don't you accept Jesus?" And this is what he said to me. He said, "Oh, there's way too many girls out there I want to have sex with before I do that." That was his word. He was honest with me. It's what he said. It wasn't a week later, he ran his motorcycle into a car, thrown over the handlebars, not wearing a, it was before the law that you had to wear a helmet, hit his head, died him instantly, 19 years old, had just passed up an opportunity to accept Jesus. Because I got news for you, friend. You don't have no clue what tomorrow will bring. And he didn't do anything wrong. He was driving down the road, and a person just pulled right out in front of him. He hit that car, went right over the handlebars and over that car, hit his head on that asphalt, and was dead, just like that, 19 years old. And had just told me, "Nah, I'm not ready to accept Jesus. I got too much living to do." You never know the day or the hour. I plan to live a long time. I do, but only God knows. Amen. All right, so if you've never asked Jesus and you want to, we want to give you that opportunity. If you need prayer this morning, we always want to pray with people. We love you guys. We want the best for you. I want the best for you. The very best, but see, my problem is I think the very best is God.